Namaste. Good morning to you all. I was recently with a master of the Kriya Yoga tradition. I was catching up with him after quite a few years after the pandemic. Kriya Yoga, as many of you might know, is the path of specific breathing techniques and exercises. One could say, with a view to align the chakras and raise the kundalini. And he was sharing with me how so many people ask him that they want to reach Shiva. That is the goal. And he said, I try my best to explain to them that it is the absence of the thinking mind that itself is Shiva. There is no peak experience, there is no goal to be reached as such. And I was so happy to hear this because, as you all might know, this teaching of Advaita, the way it is presented and the concepts therein, are geared to dissolve aspects of the ego which take away one's peace of mind. Now, I'd like to share with you all one question I have received, a very short one-line question. In light of the teaching of Advaita, thereafter, whoever would like to share anything or ask a question is welcome to. The question is, how can one synchronize our thoughts, words and actions in daily living? That's it. My teacher would say, beauty in simplicity. How can one synchronize thoughts, words, and actions in daily living? Can it be done? So let's just explore this a bit from various dimensions. The first is that mostly our actions tend to be reactions. And our reactions are based on our conditioning and our nature. This whole collective conditioning that we are carrying since we were born, the way our parents treated us, the conditioning they put into us, the conditioning at school, at college, and so on and so forth, this is the mother load of conditioning that we carry. And on this conditioning, we say things and we take decisions. So, for example, if I feel I have been a victim in childhood, I am going to be very quick to defend myself. This one could call unconscious behavior. Reactive behavior. Someone pushes my button and I react. And this in turn causes suffering. And why does it cause suffering? Because it takes away my peace of mind. You see, that is why it is so important to have the measure of peace of mind in daily living. sukha shanti. Now, if by and by I come across a teaching or something which appeals to me and tells me, hey, look here, just consider this other way of seeing things, a different way of understanding people and yourself. Just consider it, that is all. So, for example, in the past, you blamed people all the time. And now you see that everyone comes with their own blueprint. Everyone is shaped by their own conditioning. We have no idea what that is. We have no idea what challenges the person faced in their life, in their childhood. We have no clue. But we blame them and hold them accountable in that sense. When we start seeing by and by that all of us, everyone in the drama of our daily living is shaped by circumstances and conditioning, and has their own nature, which a higher power created, then we lose this obsession with reacting. We find we are more open now to listen to the other's point of view and then decide for ourselves whether we agree with it or not. More importantly, we stop excluding people from our lives, the ones we don't like. We see that even the ones we don't like have some good points. Just like ourselves, many flaws, some good points. So this is the birth of compassionate seeing. When by and by we see the hand of God behind all relationships, the ones we love and the ones we don't, then a shift takes place in one's consciousness. Because now our relationship is with God. Our relationship is with consciousness. So we find that hatred, malice, jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, guilt, shame, and so on and so forth are no longer arising like they used to. That which really occupied our thinking mind all the time. Someone we meet in the morning and we carry that story in our mind throughout the day. They said this to me. They did this to me. That story, that obsession with that story drops. Our thinking mind, which was immersed in the dead past or projecting into an imaginary future, we now find is no longer operating that way. Because the garbage has been cleared. So we find we are more present to the person who appears before us, even if we've known them all our lives. We are now more available to them. We are more open. We truly have to see the people we meet in the day. Whom all do we criticize, consciously as well as unconsciously? Because it implies that God doesn't know what God is doing, you see. This quality of criticism, more often than not, does not have objectivity. It is colored by our own lenses that we are wearing, by our own conditioning. And when we find things like criticism start dropping away, it is a sign for us that we are finding our way more and more to the peace. When the me is no longer obsessed with pulling down others and taking down others, putting labels on them, one can rest assured the journey, the walk home to peace has begun. Now, coming back to this question, aligning thought, word, and deed. There are four stages of speech. Para Pashyanti Madhyama Vaikhari. In simple words, a thought arises from the source, takes expression, is put into words, and is delivered as speech. That is the process. But can you see what happens? We are so fast in delivering our missiles to the other. So that expression of that thought gets colored in the mist of doership, our conditioning, our me versus the other dialogue, and gets delivered with the intent of hurting the other. Why? Because I perceive that the other is a threat to me. The other is a threat to me and my story. When the concept of non-doership has been absorbed, if one feels one resonates with it, at some level, when one really sees all that has happened in life, all the challenges, the ups and downs, and come to the conclusion, which Krishna states in the Gita, the ego deluded thinks I am the doer. Then I find that thought, word, and deed is getting aligned, because the me with its sense of doership is not hijacking the process. Very often we say, oh my God, I regret what I said. I should not have said that. That awareness has kicked in, that the me hijacked the process and twisted it to its advantage. That is also a big opening to even be aware, to reflect, to contemplate. Yet, this must not become an obsession to be perfect and have the perfect reactions at all times. Because you see, the ego loves to do that also. It loves to control. So what happens? By and by, I see things in a new light, deal with situations in a new light, deal with not only my relationships with people, but my relationship with what happens in my life. I'm starting to look at this differently. Now, because of the baggage of old conditioning, it's going to take time. Our buttons are going to be pushed. We are going to get triggered, but the awareness comes in and cuts off the involvement. Oh yes, my God, I'm again behaving the same way. It's all right. One has to be gentle on oneself, not berate and punish oneself for falling into the same patterns. It takes time. But by and by, through this process, we look back and say perhaps 6 months earlier, 1 year earlier, 5 years earlier, my reaction was very different compared with what it is now. And then one knows that there has been a shift which has resulted in some degree of peace and equanimity. And more importantly, someone may tell us, hey, something has changed. Then we know that we are not fooling ourselves. When someone else mentions it to us, people feel more peaceful with us. They just have to feel it. It doesn't depend on what you say as such. The vibration of peace is nothing but the absence of the dialogue of the thinking mind that covers it. You yourself will know that the people you have in your own life, be it friends, colleagues, family, which ones do you feel you are more at peace with? That becomes the barometer. It becomes more and more tangible as one's living experience. Then I find that I have reached, so to speak, the plane called the heavenly heart. The heavenly heart, which is nothing but consciousness. You see, if by and by the understanding seeps in that one's relationship is with consciousness, which appears as individuals in my life, if one sees the one behind the many, then one has reached the heavenly heart. My heavenly heart means not the individual consciousness. The heart of being. The heart of being in daily living, which is always ever present, else we would be dead. This is being. You are being, I am being. And because the veil of the thinking mind has been pulled aside, that being is expressing itself. Nisargadatta Maharaj would constantly say, abide in your being. But how? Grace is required to put aside the thinking mind of the ego that is based on doership. Because can you imagine you try very hard to abide in your being through techniques and practices and whatever, and yet your mind is doing the cartwheels when it comes to your relationships? How is it possible to then abide in your being? All right, we can sit for half an hour in meditation or 1 hour and abide in our being. But daily living itself is the meditation. As my teacher would say, true meditation is the witnessing of whatever arises in the day as movements in consciousness. True meditation is the witnessing of whatever arises in the day as movements in consciousness. Then what happens is the original polarity of me and the other is no longer functioning with the distortion of me versus the other. That has been healed back. that has been healed back to the original polarity. The framework of daily living. You see, some people write to me and say, all reactions are not ours, we are not the doers. Obviously. But have you found your peace? That is why my teacher would say, all individuals, whether they know it or not, are looking for peace of mind. And peace of mind cannot be found what happens through life, because life is pleasure and pain, the polarity, but it can only be found in one's attitude to life. And one's attitude to life is one's attitude towards the other. But we have made heavy investments in suffering, because now we know who we are. We get addicted to our suffering. It gives us an identity. I'm referring to psychological suffering. Therefore, the ego does not find peace very attractive. Because one could say that it is a kind of death for the ego, the death of the thinking mind. And no ego really wants to die. All right. If anyone would like to share something or ask something, we can do so now. Yes, Vipin. Yes, Vipin, are you there?
Yes. You mentioned that true meditation is witnessing of whatever arises in the day as movements in consciousness. It is also said that the other is hell. When we are in the state of consciousness, then there is no other. At the same time, silence is the language of God. All other is poor translation. Synchronizing these two thoughts, is it not right to remain silent most of the time? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, Vipin, the answer is quite simple. If it is in one's nature to remain silent, and it is not a struggle, so be it. But yet, in daily living, we must deal with others. So, you see, this whole teaching is based on this premise that others are not hell. It is one's own ego with the thinking mind, which is the hell, which is creating the hell. The manifestation is a reflection of the source within itself. Whatever we see, the people we meet are a reflection and not apart from ourselves, if it is truly understood that all there is consciousness, and what is out there is actually within us. That itself changes the paradigm. And we find our relationships and dealing with the others is no longer hell. We have to be pragmatic. We have to be realistic. We are going to encounter others in daily living. Just sitting in silence may not do the job for us. The point is our mind silent while we are engaging with the world, while we are engaging with others? Is the chatter of the thinking mind dead? You see, this constant preemptive judging others is what stops. And therefore, at that point, we know there are no others as such. A phrase which was made famous by Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi. So this teaching takes the practical approach to daily living and says the silence is the silence of the thinking mind. And so I hope that answers your question to at least some degree.
When I mentioned the other is hell, what I interpret it that there is no other in consciousness. And the very thought that when the body or the mind feels that there is other, that means that the mind is playing its tricks. And that is the time when the silence should dominate the mind, and that is the sort of process which this mind is actually trying to say.
And this teaching says there are others, but it is the sense of doership that we have assigned on them and ourselves which is to be looked at. There are others. There's me and you. Consciousness is speaking through you when you ask a question, and it is listening through me to the question being asked. It is the same consciousness. But I am going to face others. I am going to deal with others. I am going to deal with someone who may upset me in the day, who may take away my peace, so to speak. Anything can happen. And at that time, when I find that I am operating through the prism of the teaching, I do not assign various values to the other like I was doing before. I do not carry this burden anymore. I deal with the situation as it is. And the word should, this obsession with the word should, starts dropping away. And that is what happens. That is truly what happens. We really start dealing with things as they are. It's quite, it is really quite a beautiful journey to peace of mind in daily living. It's, you see, because this is a journey in. So far, it's all been externalized and projected outwards. And now the shift, it's a shift back within, so to speak. And of course, as you rightly said, ultimately, it is the silence which is sought, the deep silence which is peaceful. Yet, it can be found even by engaging with the world, talking, speaking with others, expressing oneself, allowing others to express themselves. And yet I have found my silence. I have found my peace. All right? Thank you. Yes, Rahul. Sorry, I'm a bit rustic with all these. Yes.
Namaskar.
Namaste.
For last 2-3 years, I am following like teachings of Raman Maharshi.
Rahul, is it possible for you to speak a bit louder, please?
Gautama, for last 2-3 years, I am following teachings of Sri Raman Maharshi and Nisargadatta Maharaj. And I am living very peaceful life, like from the consciousness. But In last 4 months, like the sensation in the body, like increasing in such manner, like intense emotions, it's feel like I am dying. Like, as everybody mentioned, that this is called as dark night of soul. And I'm not able to do like even my job and normal work. Are you also going through that, and how to handle it? Like very intense sensation in your forehead, like your face is dissolving. It is like that. I want all these things, but right now I'm not able to handle them. And like how to go through this situation, because there are so many things like my job, my career, and different things. I'm not able to do anything out of them.
I'm deeply moved by what you are going through, Rahul. And you see, one question I'd like to ask you is, are you doing any daily practice or sadhana, any specific?
I'm just like before that, I'm just contemplating my experiences, like to check my experience, like body, like does your body has any border, or what is the sound made of, what are the thoughts made of.
So you see, I have only one suggestion to make, which is what I had mentioned to someone in a similar situation a year ago. You are young. Don't try to force an outcome on the spiritual path. Please engage with life, engage with work, see that the working mind is having enough to do. Because what can happen is that when we focus too much on all this, the balance goes, Rahul. That is why my teacher and the Buddha would emphasize the middle path. And what you are describing is indeed the dark night of the soul. Even you see, ultimately everything is destined. Even what you're going through is destined. This is One is not trying to tell you do this and don't do that. What one is saying is that let the spiritual journey unfold the way it is meant to, yet honor the fact that you need to work to earn a living, you need to engage with the world, you see, and things will support you. Already, the sadhana you're doing, I can clearly see from your face, is very intense. It is going to lead in some instances to what you are going through, the dark night of the soul. But also, my suggestion is in daily living, when you are engaged, you see, the whole teaching is geared for this, Rahul. Because if you look at your own relationship with the day and with the people in the day, what are we doing? You see, this is the fear of death, right? The death of the me. Dark night of the soul is this: I will die. And the me is afraid to die. But what we are speaking about here, Rahul, is the slow poison of the thinking mind. Whatever is taking away your peace has to be looked at, has to be understood. You are following masters like Bhagwan and Nisargadatta Maharaj. That is already more than enough. But my only suggestion is be gentle on yourself. Take it easy. And any fear which arises, just look at that fear without judging it. Why am I feeling this? Why is it there? And understand, what is this fear based on? Who is feeling the fear? Let that be the journey. You see, you will find that grace, as Bhagwan said, is always ever present. So don't lose that faith, please. See, my teacher would say, always consider your glass half full and not half empty. Always. And this is something which has worked for many people, many of his students, devotees, and so on. There's no need to be pessimistic, he would say. Keep the faith. But please, my sincere request is, try your best to engage in daily living, and the middle path will be found there. It will be found.
Yeah, but like very intense sensation in the head and in the forehead between the eyebrows, like I'm not able to give attention to like anything.
Yes, that is why I asked you if you were doing anything specific, because the energy has reached here and is stuck here and it needs to release. And
no,
therefore,
I'm not doing any specific sadhana. I'm just like normal witnessing.
But even that might be too much doing. You see, the ego tries to do the witnessing also. All you need to do, Rahul, is whenever you feel that sensation, just tell yourself, I relax and release. I relax and release. Okay? And it will happen. It is just energy which is getting locked. And do not fear, do not worry, it will release. It will happen. But let me say this, the sheer fact that you are following Bhagwan and Maharaj is sadhana enough. It doesn't mean you have to do a specific japa or kriya or anything of that sort. These things happen because ultimately it's energy. Ultimately it's all energy. And that energy needs space, doesn't need to be constricted, needs to be released. It just has to be understood, not feared, and given love. So do not fear. All right? And I'd be very happy to receive an email from you if you would like to keep me updated on what's happening with you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you take care.
Thank you.
It'll be okay.
But like very all like it now right now it's 24/7 like heavy sensation on the chest, like on whole body.
Do you have a guru you follow specifically, or whom do you consider your guru?
For last 2-3 years I'm following Rupert Spira.
So, can't you speak to him about this?
Yeah, I speak to them.
See, Rahul, Maharaj said, instead of digging many small wells all over the land, dig one deep well. This is sage advice. Please, if you are following someone, you need to stick to them. You need to raise your concerns with them. Because you see, Rahul, a guru is nothing but a projection of your higher self onto a form. Please understand this. A guru, guru means consciousness, the higher self. So rather than getting fragmented and asking different people what they feel about what you're going through, whoever you consider your guru, if Rupert Spira is your guru, you must connect, raise your doubts, share your experiences, because the guru principle is there to support the aspirant, not to create more trouble for the aspirant. So, that is my suggestion to you.
One more thing, like whenever I'm trying to work, when I'm trying to think, like I got totally blank. Wherever I sit, I just sit. It's like totally got stuck.
Yes, because it is evident that the energy is stuck. Balance has to be found. Integration has to happen.
Thank you.
Contraction is what has happened. Expansion is what needs to happen in that sense. It will happen. Because you see, Rahul, I can sense in your voice a deep sincerity and earnestness, and that will take you very far. But please, my earnest request to you is just look at what's happening through the day. Please release certain aspects which are becoming too tiresome and burdening you, and allow the energy to flow. And this balance will be found. Do not obsess too much about the spiritual journey. It is going to happen. There's no need to put it on fast forward or anything. Just take it easy.
Yeah, I understand that. Like before that, there is nothing to achieve because we are already that consciousness. We are already that universal consciousness.
I don't say all that. I just say, keep it simple. Just keep it very simple. These are all big words, nothing to achieve. All there is consciousness. Just forget all this. Let's just focus on what we got to do morning, afternoon, evening, and our peace of mind will be found there.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, it's just words, words, words. All right?
Thank you.
Rahul.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
Yes, Dia. Sorry, one sec. Yes. Are you there, Dia?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Pranam, Guruji, to your inner soul where Paramatma resides. I just have to say that, could you please kindly say something about Baba that comes in your mind, your heart right now at the moment? I would just like to hear something.
Well, you see, one of my favorite sentences of Sai Baba is when he tells his devotees, I give people what they want so that they may want what I actually want to give them.
Yes.
You see, because that is the compassion of the master. I give them what they want so that they may then want what I actually want to give them. Not all these material things, relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, money, all that is inconsequential.
I'm 34, I'm single, so I'm not into relationship. I'm only with Baba. So that's why I'm only towards Baba, and he's the only one who has actually made me focus that way. It's not me. So I'm very glad.
So that's beautiful. If you find, Diya, that you are at peace, you see, that is once again, I know I'm like a parrot, but that is it. You see, someone asked me, teacher, what would self-realization give me that I did not have before? And his answer was, the only thing it will give you is peace of mind. So Dia needs to ask herself, am I at peace? And there's your answer.
I am at peace because I feel Baba is with me all the time. And I have been, Baba guided me towards your channel in obviously COVID like everyone else since 3 years. And there were many questions before when I started following. But now every time I try to contact you in Zoom or send you email, then I feel like What is the message? I just want to be with you in silence. What do I ask him? There is no question. And I could never, because I'm in London at the moment, and I didn't know about timing pattern as well. Since 1 year, I just wanted to be live in Zoom, but I couldn't. That never happened. But this morning, suddenly it happened, because I think tomorrow is something biggest, like Mahabharat. You know, there's 12 years of tapasya, and then the last full date is tomorrow. So I think Baba just want me to be to ask you a message. Like, is there anything that you want to say about Baba? That was the only thing it came to my mind. I quickly had showered and I said
no, Baba just wanted that you say hello to me and I say hello to you. That's
yeah,
it.
Just hello. And I'm so surprised that suddenly I could be on live today, and I knew how to do it. The only thing, I cannot travel at the moment from London, but hopefully I can travel soon. And the first thing I want to do is visit Shirdi. And that's the only thing I want to use my traveling allowance with. And we have to go to Mumbai. Then I always, or once I get my traveling authority, then I'm going to search or email you saying, where is your home and how can I come? So I could just sit there. That would be enough to feel the energy and vibration. And then from there, I would go to Shirdi. I hope that day comes soon.
Yes, it will. It's meant to, it will. And my only suggestion is that try going to Shirdi during the week, because weekdays is becoming more and more crowded. So you have to just keep that in mind. And I would like to tell not only you, but other devotees of Sai Baba that in Shirdi, besides the Samadhi, there are other places connected with Baba, which many people don't know about. And it's really beautiful to visit these places. I remember going and seeing one small stone on which Baba would stand and give alms to the poor and food. You know, it's actually there. Then there is a temple right near the main temple of the Navnath Kanifnath. And apparently Sai Baba would go visit that temple, Kanifnath temple, which was, of course, much more older. And that has a beautiful vibration. It's just on the road itself. So, I mean, of course, the main thing is the Samadhi, but one can explore Shirdi a bit and find these kind of hidden locations here.
Yes, I wanted to plan for 1 or 2 weeks, but let's see what Baba decides. But I'm from Nepal, so I've never been to India.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I want to do, and that would be my Chardham. Baba knows that.
Great, great. All the best to
I'm
you.
Thank you. I'm just happy to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Happy to talk to you too.
Thank you. Om Sai Ram.
Om Sai Ram. Yes, Prabhat.
Yeah, hi. Hello. Yeah.
Yes.
Am I audible? Yes. Yeah, while everyone is talking about Third World War, that some people are saying that Third World War is going to happen or might not happen or has started. I don't know. There are some rumors going on. And with the advent of technology, I can see that the consciousness is also rising. So do you see Satyug will come over again, or the other way around? There would be like a clash of ideologies that would happen.
You see, Prabhat, it's all cycles of yugas only. They keep coming one after another endlessly. It's not that Satyug will come only once, Kaliyug will come only once. It's a cycle of four, which keeps rotating. That is the wheel of time. Now, besides that, what about the Satyug in our own life? The Kaliyug in our own life, in daily living. Why not focus on that? What is our resonance? What is our satsang? Satsang. Sat is Satyug, the age of truth. And satsang is the company of truth. So are we in satsang with ourselves? Are we in satsang during the course of our day? Let us look at this rather than Satyug as an epoch and a era and time, and make that the focus. All right?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I can see some hands up, but there's no video, so I don't know if it's all right to take it, because they say there's a lot of spamming here and all that stuff, but I think someone's put their video on now. Yes, Venki.
Yeah. Pranam, Gautamji.
Pranam.
Actually, I'm just, you know, trying to practice the teachings, what, you know, you are teaching, you know. And also, like, you can say, I'm doing this Namajaba, you know, based on some instruction from the Guru. Actually, like, more importantly, like, this thinking mind, we want to really get rid of. But I see, like, the daily life when we are practicing, only when we speak after that, when we come home, realize that I think this teaching was there and then I didn't practice it. So is there a way, like, how we can, or I can say that during that time when it's happening, how can I practice that? And that consciousness is not actually coming to the mind when the things are happening.
Yes.
So how, is there a way how this can be improved or practices, or is it like, I'm very new actually, like not that so experienced in the, maybe a few, I would say a few months I'm practicing that, but still, how is that to improve that?
Yes, it's actually the question of anyone who has come onto the path that, you know, while I listen to the teachings, understand them, putting it into practice is a challenge. And only at the end of the day, I realize I could have said something better or thought something differently. And the answer is astonishingly simple. All we can do is try. And when it is meant to happen, it will happen. So even this much awareness that is there was not there earlier. You see, exposure to the teaching was there. Now this awareness is there that, you know, oh God, these things happened in the day and I could not recall the teaching or could not remember. That itself is a big shift. You see, because it means that so a certain fine-tuning has been done, because now I'm looking at things in the light of the teaching, albeit it happening later after my reaction or after whatever has kicked in. So by and by, I will find that this becomes a new way of being and a new way of seeing. And it's a process in time. Because as I say, look at the decades of conditioning prior to this.
You see.
It takes time. So you got to be not frustrated about it. Even that can arise. But to understand that, look, all I can do is try my best. And I then leave the results to God. That's it. Keep it very simple, please. And enjoy the journey also. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Gautamji. Actually, like, to get that practice, we need God's help. And is there a way, like, some we can practice few things, like, which can help us to do that? Of course, teachings is one thing, but also maybe fortunate that I think we are guided to you and we are actually listening to you. At the same time, like, how do we get this God's will so that I think, you know, we can get some sort of a practices, you know.
Tell me, did you do any practice which got you to the teaching? Or rather, did you do any practice which got the teaching to you? Or did it happen?
It happened. It happened.
Exactly. So you have to trust that process. You have to trust that. And Venki, you are already doing a practice. You're doing Nam Japa. So let's not overload more and more practices.
Right.
As my teacher would say, the only thing is, let life flow like H2O. Let life flow. You see, we are like the water which, when it encounters a boulder, like the river going to the sea, but we try to push those boulders away. Whereas with this teaching, we find by and by, when we deal with situations that come in our life, challenges, the people we meet, we are finding our way around them. We are navigating our boat in a smoother fashion. And this happens. This happens. So don't worry too much about adding on more and more practices. My teacher would say the seeing is the only doing necessary. The seeing is the only doing necessary. So if something upsets you during the course of the day, the only practice as such one can recommend is to reflect on it. Look at it. What happened? Was it connected to some other action? And reach the conclusion that ultimately nobody is the doer of their actions. That is the practice he would recommend, which he called personal investigation. For example, an oversimplified example is, if I realize that, okay, at 4 p.m., I helped a lady, an old lady, cross the street. That's the action which happened. Now, then I ask myself, what was my action based on? And I conclude that I saw an old lady. If the old lady was not there waiting for assistance in crossing the street, my action would not have happened. So can I truly call it my action if it depended on something I saw? That is what he would call personal investigation. And he would tell people, by and by, you look at this, you know, people who upset you, the people you encounter in the day, and you keep bringing this in, reflect on it, and you will come to your own conclusion that I am truly not the doer of my actions and nor are others. And when this understanding starts seeping in, I start operating from that space. And by, I find I am more peaceful than I was before.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Gautamji.
Thank you. Yes, Girish. Sorry. One sec. Yes, Girish.
Hello.
Hello.
It's so much soothing to the disheartened heart while listening to you.
I like that, disheartened heart.
Actually, I think today is the right day and right moment for me to listen to you and to see you, actually, because I'm going through an event of the life which I was not expecting, but it happened. Although I predicted it that it would happen, and it happened, and although I didn't want it to happen, and so actually, I'm in corporate world, and then probably I was expecting promotion, and on Friday the promotion day was there, and probably that promotion was due for after pandemic, and now I think after three four years of the pandemic, I was expecting the promotion, but still I didn't get the promotion. Although on appraisal and all those things which happened, the appraisal was so smooth, and the final rating was your, which was announced officially that your performance is beyond role and all those things. And although, so in nutshell, basically, it didn't happen. And then the intense emotions through which I went through, and the reasoning and all those things, and I will say the thinking mind took over the complete my world around my till Friday, since Friday till today, I think last 48 hours, I was completely into the thinking mind while I was thinking about the whole process. I could see the past, I could see the present, and I was in a complete witnessing of my emotions. I was in a position to witness that I'm not happy, I'm sad. There was also thought that I should not have been sad after having such kind of a so-called spiritual know-how, or having at least known in the background that why I'm not able to accept the reality, why I'm not in a present moment, why I'm still going in the past or the future, whether I should resign or the things have not been proportional to me, although I was not judged in that way. And there, I could see the larger picture probably. There could be some different reasons one can say. But having said all those stuff, the reality is that presently I was not in a comfort moment. And the whole process of last 48 hours, I was watching my emotions. I was actually, surprisingly, I went through one course, online course, Udemy Academy, where they conduct such course. And then there is a course called Change Agility. And in that Change Agility, they say that there is a 5 stages of such changes. One is the denial, then the anger, then the bargaining, then the depression, and the acceptance. So actually, I was part of that, all those 5 stages, that I was denial mode, then I was in little bit anger mode about the situation, then it was about the bargaining, then I also went to some depression that I was not talking with my family members in last 48 hours. And slowly, slowly, I started accepting also now these somehow. And then while speaking or listening to your today's video and whatever the things which have happened, and yesterday actually, sometimes we say that if you are too much under a sad moment, you see someone who is much sadder than you. So I saw yesterday the Palestine video on Netflix, where there is a bombing attack which was happening, and it was a nice video. And then I saw that the Palestinians have been going through much horrible situations than what I'm looking for the materialistic promotion and all those things.
Fair enough,
so I just there were ways to convince myself. These are the ways to just convince the ego, how that ego was so strong. And then I was trying to work around some more other ways where I could find some way to, I will say, move out from the thinking mind. And so even my wife asked me, are you thinking why that promotion didn't happen? So I told her that I'm not thinking about why, because it has already happened. So there is no point in going back why it has not happened, because if I ask my subordinate, they will have 100 justified reasons from their perspective, which I may agree, I may not agree sometimes, because already I'm disheartened. So, yes. So my more challenge was how to deal with the situation rather than how to move ahead in this, or how I should go ahead with this. So in nutshell, after listening to your today's video and all those sessions, probably, I think I got many answers, probably, definitely. I was having those answers, but my ego was not in a position to accept those answers.
Yes, you see,
thank you. I'm really grateful to you and to be there today with you, connecting with you and taking the energy from you.
What would a man of understanding or a woman of understanding do in this situation, where they are expecting a promotion after 3 or 4 years and it does not come? What is the difference between an ordinary person facing this scenario and a person of understanding? The only difference is, you see, regret will arise. Sadness will arise. We are human beings. The sage is not a zombie and saying, I'm indifferent to everything. No. You worked hard. At least you think you worked hard. You think you did things a certain way, and the expectation of a promotion did not get fulfilled. Sadness will arise. Upset will arise. But the only difference is that the sage accepts this as the will of God and does not hold an individual. For example, the person who decided, I am not going to get a promotion, does not hold that individual in judgment and being the cause of my disappointment. That is the only difference That is where peace is to be found. That I think I deserved a promotion. Fair enough. I have to use my faculties and come to that conclusion myself. I was expecting it. It didn't happen. And I am upset. But because I'm not involved in this drama where I'm holding individuals accountable for pulling me down, I have brought a sense of objectivity to the scenario. So through my disappointment, through that initial shock of not having the expectation met, which is an expectation I found reasonable, I now come to terms with one fact. What can I do now? Do I leave the job? Do I stay with it? And in that objectivity, because the sting of doership is pulled out from the equation and there's a total acceptance of the will of God, I start taking decisions. You see, because otherwise what will happen is I can get mired into this. I should prove myself. Maybe they didn't see what all I did. They didn't see my good points.
Yes.
The ego wants to now defend all this. This is what I did and you didn't see it.
Yeah.
As you see, this picture is so vast that we are only seeing the tip of the iceberg. Ultimately, it is the hand of destiny, and the sage makes his peace with that. That this is the card I have been dealt, the card which says no promotions for you.
Yes.
This is the card which has been dealt. And now, how do I walk forward? How do I walk ahead? What can I do? What can I say? And so I find that my thought, word, and deed is now in alignment. Otherwise, the ego can consume this whole situation and make it a victim of injustice.
Yes.
How dare you do this to me? You see, I'm going to fight for my rights.
Yeah.
Whereas this teaching says, hold on. By all means, if you want to express your views on not getting a promotion, please express that.
Yes.
No harm in that. But you see, we don't carry this whole, this force of negativity, so to speak, behind that expression.
Correctly said.
Pointing fingers and, you know, that angst is no longer operating in us.
Yes.
We are expressing ourselves. Someone else may feel, no, I think it's done. I think there's no need to express myself because I did it in my work. It didn't get appreciated. So be it. So it does bring a sense of neutrality and balance and equanimity in dealing with this situation. That is all it does.
So nicely said. I was just waiting for those words. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gautam. You are so much connected and kind. You know probably the emotions and the angles. I really grateful to you.
Well, this knowing is not something which happened with effort and all, Girish. It's just, you know, honestly, it's for everyone.
Yes.
Everyone who is listening to these talks, when they start seeing their life situations through the light of Advaita and this teaching, they will see the same thing. They will see the hand of God operating, especially through the disappointments in life. And it's quite humbling. For the ego, it's quite humbling.
Yes.
When the ego can no longer assign blame on people and realizes that there's something larger at work here and people are just instruments through whom actions happen. It is a humbling thought. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will just change the screen so I can see all of y'all. And we can sit in silence for a couple of minutes. I think there's someone else who wants to ask a question. We can take that as the last question. Yes, Kitu.
Pranam.
Pranam.
So I'm asking a very broad philosophical question, which is, it is extraordinarily difficult for 99.99% of humanity to even take the first step to self-awareness? Why is it so? I mean, we all know the usual answer, which is we are all conditioned from birth, and we came into this life with our own samskaras. But if the answer is there, so plain to see for everybody, like, you know, from one day to the next, you can suddenly realize, oh my God, you know, you get that moment of what they call a satori or what. But it seems to be extraordinary difficult for most of humanity to be even aware of the, you know, your own nature and all your issues. So the question of raising your kundalini seems to be out of the reach of most people, right? Is this by design, or what is it? I mean, because we're all trying to understand, but then, like everybody said, in your daily life, you get completely messed up because you don't remember. So is it for only a few that can meditate, or do you have to leave life? I know the answer is not to renounce, but why is it that humanity is in a state today, and I'm sorry, I'm asking a very general, broad question, that we can't achieve even 10% of that peace of mind and awareness?
Yeah, it's quite, this design which God made is quite flawed, isn't it?
I mean,
I agree with you.
I don't know. I mean, maybe human beings are a flawed species, and they have so many blocks. I mean, the more I see of the world today and how everyone is disturbed and crazy and wars going on. So instead of humanity progressing spiritually, we seem to be regressing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on this. If we look at the times of the Crusades and what went on then and what's going on now, it's pretty much the same thing. My teacher would also say that, you see, because we are so polarized. But then, as in the Gita, Krishna says, you know, out of thousands upon thousands upon thousands, only one becomes a seeker. And out of those few, one knows me by name. That is the design. Just like it was the design that you used to be a very famous model, if I'm correct.
Yes, and now I'm a very famous actress.
Very famous actress too. So why was I not made a model? You see, out of thousands upon thousands and millions of people, some were chosen for the profession of acting. The same design, Kittu, the same design. Isn't it amazing? It's really a wonder and a marvel, this whole way this is. It just shows, and I keep saying this, life doesn't make sense. And the more and more we realize very little in life makes sense, the more and more will we be at peace. Like Girish before you, it doesn't make sense. He didn't get his promotion to him. It doesn't make sense. But when we accept life is not about making sense anymore, therein is our peace to be found. All right. I love those
so I shouldn't worry about
smileys,
the state of humanity.
And happy faces on your frame. Very nice. Very cute.
I don't know, it just
worry about
things, by
you should. There's too much to worry about, Kittu. We can find many things to worry about. The ego loves to worry, because at least it has something to do then. The ego is scared of the peace of deep sleep because it does not exist. Yet we all know that deep sleep is very peaceful, because we wake up and say, I slept well. So it proves that the absence of me and my story is my own experience of deep peace. No one has been troubled by deep sleep. No one says, oh, I wish I didn't have deep sleep. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's really a cosmic joke.
It is.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Unable to change the view for one reason. Let's see what's happening. That's it. I can see you all now. Thank you.